Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, and again, you're listening to Talk Straight on this March 14, 2017, afternoon. We are glad that you join us tonight, and our topic is African-American Millennials, What's on Their Minds? But before I delve into that, let me just say for the benefit of any new listeners, that we do, this is a online talk format where Building Families and Communities Institute is able to reach a number of cities and areas at one time. So we invite you to call. This is a call-in talk show format, and we encourage you, if you have ideas or comments or questions that will help us to maintain wholesome dialogue and conversation. Perhaps you're listening from our Facebook page, or you found us on Twitter, or you got an email from us. Either way, please join us. You can call us here at 657-330-944. And for those of you that have been following us for some time, you know that we engage guests from time to time on the show. Tonight we have a wonderful guest who's going to bring a great perspective to our dialogue tonight, which I mentioned earlier. The topic of today's show is African-American Millennials. The question is, what's on their minds? Part of that meaning of that term millennial refers to the generational effects that the economic depression in 1930s, that effect that it had on young people who are currently in their 20s and 30s. And are still struggling to overcome certain missteps of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. Seems that for particularly African-Americans who fall in this generation, there is a double concern. Mr. Mario Abney, professional musician and cultural icon out of New Orleans, Louisiana, will be joining me tonight as we answer that. And just a little bit, as those who've been following us again know, we offer a monologue where we give context and background for our conversation. I do need to make one brief announcement. We were scheduled to go for an hour and a half tonight, but you all know that part of my duties is as a pastor, and I got a call about an hour ago about the need for me to visit one of my parishioners in the hospital. So we will cut our show a half an hour tonight, but I'm sure we'll still have a good conversation and dialogue. And I encourage you to call in 657-383-0944 and join in us in a conversation. Having said all of that, we're going to go to our monologue. I also want to announce that we're going to be hearing some of the music from our guest tonight. This professional musician who has a Bachelor's of Arts with a concentration, I believe, in music education and jazz. In particular, he's going to tell us a little bit more about himself in just a minute as we formally bring him on. But for the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to give our monologue, and then we'll delve right into our conversation for the evening. And again, with that, we thank you for calling, for listening to us, and we encourage you to give us a call tonight here at Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. As aforementioned, tonight we're talking about from the topic African-American Millennials, what's on their mind. The book of Job, the 32nd chapter, verses 7 through 9 reads, "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and does not show my opinion. I said, they should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." The word spirit, as translated from the Bible, the Hebrew, 7304 in the Hebrew, is pronounced ruach. And its meaning related to our discussion tonight is expression or courage. When we're using, when the Bible speaks of ruach, it's talking about expression and courage, particularly in this text of Job 32nd chapter. And the word inspiration that is used in these texts as well, from the Hebrew 5397, or nes amal, meaning wind, angry, or intellect, spirit or soul. It's a proper usage. For a formal definition and background on millennial generation, where did it come from? Well, authors William Strauss and Neil Howell are widely credited with identifying the term millennials. In their co-authored books, Generation, The History of America's Future, 1584 to 2069, was written in 1991, and they also authored in 2000 a book entitled Millennials Rising, The Next Great Generation. In these books, they describe children who were born in 1982 that were entering preschool at that time. And the media were first identifying this group of young people, they call it a cohort, as the prospective link to the new millennium, as the high school graduating class of 2000. And this is where this concept of millennial came from. These were people that were graduating high school, going out into the world, doing their thing in the year 2000. Millennials, who are generally the children of baby boomers and what are known as older Gen Xers, are sometimes referred to as eco-boomers due to a major surge in birth rates in the 80s and the 90s. The 20th century trend towards smaller families in developed countries continued. However, so the relative impact of the baby boomer echo was greatly or generally less pronounced than the original post-World War II boom. So you can see how in each of these generations, there were some that drove people giving birth to children, particularly in America. Millennial characteristics vary from different regions of the U.S., depending on social and economic conditions. But I should stipulate the generation is generally marked by an increased use in the familiarity of communication, such as Facebook and used to be MySpace, things like Snapchat and Instagram and so forth and so on, various medias and digital technologies that we have prevalent today. You just about know you're dealing with one because that's their primary mode of communication. Marketers use it as well. Businesses use it because they know how to reach people through those mediums. In most parts of the world, the millennial uprising is marked by an increase in typical liberal approach to politics and economics. We saw that in 2008 with the rise of former President Barack Obama. He had a large number of millennials supporting his candidacy, and it made the difference for him. Unlike this current, most recent election, they set out for whatever reason, but they tend to gravitate to more liberal views, politics, and economics. The effects of the environment also play a factor into often their views and behaviors. When we look at the Great Recession and how it has had an impact on, again, previous generations, we can see that there are historically still high levels of unemployment among young people. In fact, one puts it that, depending on where you are, what state or what city, but nationally I believe that particularly African-American males are somewhere between 19 and 20% unemployment for males that are 16 to 25 years old, which is significant because that correlates to those who are in the gangs, in the streets, and typically in jail. Specifically for the African American subgroup, the question is, if you are born between 1982 and present, what opportunities are there for you? And what is on your mind? One only needs to look at Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, and one of the cities we're going to talk about tonight, Louisiana, to really get a feel for what's going on with these young folks. And our guest tonight is going to join us in this conversation, Mr. Mario Abney, as I mentioned, a very, very excellent and profound. We're going to hear a little bit of his music tonight. Musician and cultural icon. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening, Reverend. How you doing, Reverend Dockery?
Good to mighty be fine, on the show. Fine.
Yeah, okay. I love...
We're glad to have you.
Huh?
We're glad to have you here. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to be here. Yeah, love the topic that you're talking about and everything. I think it's a very powerful topic, you know, like what's going on with the people, what's going on with the millennial generation, per se. I think it's something good to look at. I'm here. Fire away with the questions. I have a few things that I would like to put out, just as far as ideas, what I think of going on in the community right now.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, if you don't mind, begin with giving us a little bit of your background. I mentioned some of your education and the fact that you are a professional musician. Tell us a little bit about what you do and where you are now and that sort of thing.
Well, originally I'm from Chicago, Illinois, Harvey, Illinois.
Oh, Windy City.
Yeah, right outside of Chicago. I went to school, Thornton Township High School, and after high school, went away to college. My uncle Arthur, he showed me a lot about music when I was growing up, and music kind of set the tone for what I was gonna do with the rest of my life. I went to college at Central State University. I grew up listening to jazz music. Once I got in a band, I pretty much just took to music. My mother, she took me to church a lot. So, I hear the musicians at church, and I would hear my grandmother playing B.B. King and Howlin' Wolf records and hearing the blues. So I always heard all the blues and jazz and gospel, you know.
Okay.
And then, you know, from there, you know, I went to college, you know, from high school, and studied undergrad at Central State University. And I got a bachelor's in music education with an emphasis in jazz studies and became part of the music scene around the city. And, you know, as I was playing music around the city, I just made the connections and met different people. And I eventually, after my family situation changed, I ended up moving to New Orleans. So I've been down here for about 9 years and, you know, creative.
Okay.
You know, and I've just been playing music, and you know, along the way, I've acted in HBO series, and I played in several major jazz festivals, and I put out an album. And, you know, I got 2 singles out, and you know, I've just been playing and learning. Moved down here to New Orleans, you know, to really absorb the history and and the culture, you know, and to connect with my cultural roots.
Okay. Well, now, before we leave tonight, I certainly want you to give out information on how we can, how our listening audience can get some of your music. The show is archived, and people can listen as many times as they like after it's recorded tonight. And I am very much interested in hearing your ideas, but if you don't mind, I'd like to give our listening audience just a sample of one of your original pieces here, a pretty popular piece, fiery piece. If that's okay with you, just for a second, I'd like to give a sample to our listening audience, and then on the other side of it, we'll come back and let's talk to me about these millennials, Mr. Abney. What's on their mind? What's really going on with them? Let's get on the other side of this. Let's do that, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we have with us tonight Mr. Morrow Abney. You just heard a snippet of one of his latest hits, We Rollin', a original piece of his, and we're grateful to have him with us tonight. We're talking about millennials, African-American millennials. What's the difference in them and what's on their mind? Can you give us some background on that? Give us your thoughts, Mr. Abney.
Okay, well, I would say, you know, the whole millennial thing, for me, you know, being, I'm 39, so I'm not quite in that range. I just beat it. But, you know, being a musician, I'm a lot of the people that I'm around are a lot younger than me, you know, and I think it's observed, you know, from a kind of like a relatively close inside standpoint because, you know, I'm still pretty much, you know, playing music. I'm out there in the active social environments and where you are around a lot of people in the millennial age range. Well, you know, as a person of African descent, I think the difference with us is that we need to have a stronger sense of self, because we have been swept into areas of or we've been socialized into areas of detriment as a people, I think, in different ways. You know, because, you know, when we think about millennials, when I think about millennials, the stereotypical millennial, if I had to create such a thing, it would be a person, let's say they go to Starbucks, they like 26, you know, they're into eating gluten-free food that's, you know, they're, like you said, they're liberal, probably, you know, pro-LGBT, pro, you know, well, pro, you know.
Hold that thought.
So
does that apply to typical, as you're describing, does that description apply to typical African Americans in Chicago, say in the Inglewood community, or maybe in the Treme neighborhood of New Orleans, or in Cleveland somewhere? Hood that doesn't apply. So could we call those African American millennials just because they fall in that generation?
I would think that we would need to be careful about associating our group of people with the millennial suite or the millennial craze that they're putting us into, because it seems as if the millennial standpoint is becoming something that everything that is said to be associated with the millennial view per se seems to be in detriment the standing of the Black community or the African American or the African community or the indigenous community. The reason I'm saying, right, for example, most millennials will probably be a proponent of Planned Parenthood, you know. Planned Parenthood is primarily set up in Black or African urban neighborhoods. Planned Parenthood, historically. The founder of Planned Parenthood was Margaret Sanger, was a racist eugenicist. And millennials, I've actually encountered young brothers wearing pink shirts, handing out Planned Parenthood, you know, information. And the thing about that is, like, do you not know the history of what you're representing? I know it sounds like I'm bouncing all over the place, but this whole millennial suite, or this millennial psychology that I think we're being our young people are being typecast into, is really for the detriment of our community. Again, you know, because there are a lot of things that imply, you know, the reduction of Black people on the planet at the end of the day when you get to the brass tacks of it.
I see. So is it fair to say, Mr. Abney, that a supposition of yours is that in order for African Americans in the age of 20s and late 30s or mid 30s to thrive in America, we have to take a different cultural approach or social identity? Is that a good supposition?
I would think that would be a great one, because I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Get Out. It was a very good movie.
I hadn't seen it, but I've heard of it. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard of it.
You know, basically the movie was summing up how, as a people, we can lose our sense of identity until we get into a place where we have lost our ability to survive and our ability to recognize friend from foe, you know, trying to assimilate and being in the end. Because, you know, I mean, I find it interesting, you know, I don't think that Black people, we really had a positive experience coming for us for either candidate from this last election, whether it was Clinton or Trump. I don't think either one of them really represented the ideals or what the community needed. You know, but a lot of so-called millennial young black people were behind Hillary Clinton. But, you know, with research and, you know, and with valid research and factual research, we could see how, you know, the Clinton camp was just as negative for the interests of black people from past history as the Trump camp would be for future history, you know. So, you know, but the millennial people were swept into this Hillary Clinton pretty much represented the millennials, you know, for this next coming part of the election. You know, because of the liberal and semi-liberal, so-called liberal standpoint that she was so-called representing. You know, I mean, I think that we're at a place as the millennial age people of African American or African descent or the indigenous descent, the dark skinned melanated people in America. I think those people in that age range of being a millennial per se, we need to, you know, really reevaluate, you know, our stance as a collective of people, because we are becoming so American that we're losing our true cultural identity. Because America, to be American is more a political identity. It's not really a culture.
Let me jump in here. What I'm gathering so far is that, again, there's a supposition here that, and you've said this, that it, the concept of millennial as taught by Strauss and Howell does not really measure up to the social identity and context of African American. In fact, it poses difficulty in terms of really identifying opportunities and taking advantage of certain things for Africa. That's what I'm gathering from you. We have our panelists and our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is the author of Still High, and he's a supporter of our traveling lecture series, Mr. Abney. Mr. Abney is our guest tonight, Pastor Waller, excellent musician. I think you met him when he came to Nashville, he and his group, to play for my campaign back in 2015. So we're grateful that he's with us. You've heard some of his commentary. Where are you with that, Pastor Waller?
Go ahead. Yeah, he wanted to say something else.
Yeah, some of what you heard. What do you think? Okay. All right, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I was just tuning in, and I wanted to, you know, thank him for sharing with us and the importance of basically when you're talking about the African American, and I think about a black man with purpose, you know, is something valuable. I do think that, and I don't have anything I would take away from what he was sharing. But what I always have thought about was, and according to politicians and things of that nature, you know, that who was the president back 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and who's the president now? I know one thing that I've learned, that no matter who the president is, no matter who someone thinks could do a good job or not, what I've noticed is something never stopped, and that is the destruction with the intent to inflict black people with something that caused them not to even think of who they are. I use for a good example. I myself, it didn't matter about who was the president. I used to hear the presidents that I need to know about is them dead presidents. And that type
yep.
of thought, that type of
okay.
thought pattern, man, you know, it took something, you know, for me to realize that and say, man, look how easy it was to inflict a lifestyle person who actually was just young and inexperienced and didn't know any better. So I'm just grateful for you getting ready to share with us and the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from it. But I also always like to know what are we going to do as a people to better our communities all around the world. You know, and that's again, man. I'm seeing things happen right before my eyes, and say, how did it take place? To put a design so wonderful, and it's excluding us. You know what I mean? From being able to exercise, I would say, the gift that we should have, or the know-how that I heard that you had years and years and years ago. What happened to it?
Right.
What happened to it? Because I see all that's working. It's not us. Now, I hadn't seen a lot. I mean, the little bit I've seen, I noticed that, but in the drug game and in the getting high and all those things, I mean, that's for us, I believe, is what it looks like. So slavery is what I'm talking about right now. I mean,
hey, all right. Hold that thought, Pastor. I want you and Mr. Abney come back. We're at the bottom of the hour. Let me get a message in here. Break. We're going to have to abbreviate our show because I have to see a parishioner at the hospital this evening. So, we're going to. Yeah. But we still got another 30, 40 minutes or so. Let me squeeze this break in here, and we're coming right back at it. Hold that thought. Pastor was talking about slavery and its connection to African Americans. And the contradiction with being a millennial. This is what Mr. Abney said. We're coming right back. You listen to Talk Straight. Call us at 657-383-0944. Get in where you fit in after this break.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up to be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Street. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We have with us our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, and our special guest tonight, Mr. Mario Abney, professional musician and cultural icon. You just heard another one of his tunes entitled Blessed by the Abney Quintet. And we're grateful to have him with us tonight. He's straight out of New Orleans. Who that? Is that how y'all say it?
Yeah, that's how
it is. Okay. So on the other, prior to our break, Pastor Waller brought in the fact that there are residual effects to the seasoning process of slavery on people of Negro descent, African, now called African Americans. We've had several shows really addressing that. And you mentioned, Mr. Abney, that there's a certain socialization that is in terms of being millennials or falling under that umbrella, as identified by Strauss and Howe, who wrote those books. There's a contradiction there. Let me get you to come in, Mr. Abney, then Pastor, come on behind me. Help me understand that like I'm 3 years old.
Okay. We are basically being socialized into our own demise as a people, or I should say,
the youth culture,
because through the music, through education, through the school systems, through the television, through pop culture, you know, we're being socialized. The whole millennial movement is moving at the same time as America becomes a more immoral place to be, you know. I mean, we're being socialized into our own detriment. I mean,
wow.
I mean, that's just basically what it is. You know, when you stand up for yourself as a person of indigenous descent or African descent, or you stand up for a person of cultural significance that is not in the cookie cutter American black Negro.
Okay.
You present a problem. You know, if you're talking like a straight male, that's a problem. If you're talking like you're an alpha male that wants to lead a family, or you're talking with the mindset of building for your community, or you talk anything that is basically an attack on, you know, traditional African culture when you think on certain levels, because, you know, for example, the whole overpopulation theory and birth control and abortion and these things, these are eugenics practices. These are socializing mindsets that are meant to stop black people from reproducing. You know, I mean, we look at things in such a way that is very materialistic and disconnected from our natural source of life. There's no room for the spirit in the millennial concept of millennial mind. There's no room for the indigenous African culture in the millennial mindset. You know, the millennial mindset is going to follow behind Bill Gates and talk about overpopulation, and it's going to talk about, you know.
Wow.
You know.
Wow. That's something. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
Pastor, where you at, Doc? Come on, give me something, man. Give me something.
I think he's rolling, man. I think he's rolling. I embrace everything he's sharing, you know. And when he said something about the practice, that sounded like to me with an intent. You know, when you're practicing something, you're intent for it to come out the way that you practice it. And if that is, I'd like to just say I'm so grateful for that, what he was sharing. And the way he put it, man, I mean, it was plain. It was right there to the point, because when you get a group of people, and I've always said this, that don't know any better, I always use myself as the greatest example of not knowing any better. So I don't belittle anyone who don't know better, but it's just information that's really needed in order for them to change the direction in which they're going. You're talking about the youth. And when you're young and inexperienced and don't know any better, but what I would put into my being young, I would put being young and dumb. That's what I was. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm talking about me. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't dare call them brothers ignorant. But I would say that I was ignorant and unlearned. And I was taught a valuable lesson. And so I know that it's happening increasingly right now with the people that don't know any better. So you will support the things that they're saying that holds no value into applying the gifts that's within them. So we allow them to be able to say things that would be of no benefit to what we do. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you know, we're living in this time where wrong is right now. You know, where everything we have to, we've allowed ourselves to be lied to so much that when we look at the truth, we run from it. You know,
we fight the truth.
Yeah,
we want to kill the truth. Now that we've
acknowledged those things, we need to turn back to the progressive mindset that was, I think, taking place in the 60s in a way. You know what I mean? Just from me doing my research, black people or people of color, who we are, us in this country, seem to have had more of a progressive mindset. Now, I'm not talking about the we shall overcome holding hands thing. I'm talking about in terms of saying we are a community and we are doing this together. See, we have allowed ourselves to be socialized into so many micro demographics amongst ourselves. You got the Black Power movement on one side, then you got the young hip hop world street movement on one side, then you got the gay people on one side, then you got Black feminists on another side, then you got the All Lives Matter Black people, Uncle Tom, Negro people on one side, then you got all of these different factions of Black people. You know, and there's nothing wrong with the Black Power movement and everything like that. We need something to identify ourselves with, but we are so spread out that, you know, everybody wants the same thing, but everybody wants to lead. And I think the thing is, we need to acknowledge a leadership amongst ourselves, and we at the same time, we need to still be able to work together. We can lead and follow. We need to learn how to let our gifts show, you know.
Well, let me ask this question. I don't mean to cut you off, but you guys are saying some things, and I think you all in agreement for the most part, and I follow your logic. Now, what I'm hearing, though, is that perhaps one of the explanations for why so many African-American males, 16 to 30 years old, are apt to turn to gangs, to gang-banging and the street life, is because they may not be able to articulate it like you all are, but they reject the notion that I should conform or fit into this cookie-cutter identity that society is putting out there. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
No,
I think
it is. Go ahead.
I think, too, you know, these young guys, you know, every culture within itself has people who have different roles, right, and different gifts.
Right.
As we were talking about.
Right.
Now, you have artists, you have educators, you also have a young warrior class, and a young warrior class is just fighting the wrong war. You know, I mean, these are young, strong males looking for direction, looking for to be part of a team, to be part of something that means something greater than themselves. You know, and a lot of times the problem that happens is there's no group consistency. There's no part of the group to belong to, you know, and, you know, we as a people, you know, I mean, look, like, for example, the violence that goes on in Chicago, all the stuff happening in Chicago, right? You got black people scared of other black people. So who do they call? They call the white establishment police to come in, and now everybody complain about racism as soon as that happens,
Lord,
right? What we need to do is begin to police our own communities. Let's get dangerous when it needs to get dangerous. Let's say, you know what, we the you know, the elders in the community, young fella, and we heard that, you know what I'm saying, you doing A, B, C, and D. We want to talk to you, little man. We want to talk
That's,
to you. Wow. You know, I mean, stepping into that type of a personal space, putting your life
Does that
on the line
well?
For the community.
It makes it, you know, he's hitting it, brother. I'm telling you, I mean, I'm just sitting back, you know, just receiving it, embracing it, and understanding it. And this is what I like to say concerning it. You know, he's telling the truth, man. I mean, this is exactly what's happening. You know, this is what we need. I was thinking about him being a musician, right? And then me being, you know, I deal with the basketball. Use that for an example.
Talented athlete.
Yes, you know, and in many other areas of someone's talent and gift, I can just believe that he can play a tune with his instrument, and I can take my ball, I can do all things with that ball just from listening to what he's playing. But I know 24 years ago, I was listening to Kool Moe Dee while I was playing with the basketball and doing my thing with it. You follow what I'm saying? So the power of words, you see, you can have positive words and still hold power and still get the job done, and I can still twirl the ball, do things like this. You see, so it's what power the words have, man, that's causing the young brothers to gravitate to this, I would say, insanity.
Words are spells. Words are spells, you know.
Yeah.
The words are spells. You can literally
see when you go for what you need. It's a learning. It's a learning, man. I mean, they're learning this, and it's like, okay, you go for what we know around here, and this is what we know.
I think, you know, the other thing that, you know, we, you know, need to concentrate on is the things that the modern Western world per se throw out the window, our spirituality. Let's deal with what hasn't been dealt with. Let's answer the unanswered questions. When somebody tell you to have faith and faith ain't enough, let's do the research. And let's be willing to embrace what truth there is. Because you have to understand this is part of the human psychology, your spirituality, and we as a people have a sick psychology because we are in amnesia mode right now. We have no knowledge of our history. So there's nothing to build. Some of us feel there's nothing to build towards. So we begin to lose our sense of group identity, and we begin to move in every man for himself. And when you move in every man for himself, you have limited power. And when you have limited power, you become, you know, that's when these problems happen.
Right. All right, now, brethren, one of the cornerstones of the premillennial generations, or they call them the baby boomers or Xers, right, in the 1930s, that's when the Great Depression hit, right? And President Roosevelt, Franklin Delano, came up with the concept of a New Deal. And this was supposed to be the great savior of everybody that was poverty-stricken and had a problem. Are you all suggesting that some 80 years later, it still has not reached the African-American community such that we have a sense of purpose, identity, and direction for us? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is...
I would definitely say not only
has it not reached the black community, it will never reach the black community because it wasn't. And it's, we shouldn't want it to. We should want that for ourselves. You see, and that's, you know, see, that's part of the thing. We looking for this deal. Yeah, we looking for this deal instead of being the deal. You know, we got to get to the point that we realize we are the deal. Instead of, you know, worrying about Obamacare? What about I'ma care for myself? What about worried about instead of worried about what Trump do? What about what I'ma do? You see what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, run that,
you know,
hold on, brother Abby. Brother, run that back me one time. Forget Obamacare. I'ma care about me. Come on, man.
Like, I mean, because see, we keep getting socialized into come save us, come save us. Our ancestors have been waiting to be saved for 400 years. You know, come save us, come save us. You know, the Creator is a spirit. You know, a spirit is in flesh. We are the Creator in flesh, so we must create. You know, and that's what it comes down to. Because as long as we're in this institution called the United States of America, if we don't take the ability to create that we have and realize that we are the deal, then we'll be looking for a deal, and the deal that we get will never be good.
You know what? I am going to have you back. We got 10 minutes before we have to end tonight's episode. Doc, I'm going to have you back, man, because you hitting on some stuff right here. You're dropping something heavy on me right now. You're dropping something heavy on me.
Well, bless you.
Well, Pastor Waller and I have been talking about this since the show began, Mr. Abney. And he and I have been working in Nashville for the last, what, 2 or 3 years now, Pastor?
That's correct. It has been.
And so what we're endeavoring to do is to expand the message and the efforts that we exhibited here out to other cities. Because we know, as you're saying, that some of the same people, the same circumstances are confronting some of the same subgroup of people. Now, I want to make it clear that I don't think you have to be an enemy with white people or Hispanic people or Asian people to be a friend to yourself and to do something for yourself. In fact, Dr. King even mentioned in one of his most powerful speeches, in my view, that you don't need legislation to be a man. Because you have a divine right as a man in the world, in the universe.
That's a lot of sense for me, Pastor. You know, if we can check ourselves, I mean, we won't have time to be checking no one else because that's what's going on. We have to check ourselves. We have to do that. And the reason why I do that is because spirituality is something that a lot of my, in my come up, it wasn't there. We did not practice that. We knew nothing about it. And so we wasn't pretending to be something that we was not, because we would have been deceiving ourselves and others. But this is something that should be put into practice. It's available, and now it's time to tap into it. And the only reason why I'm appreciative of what the learning is because the value of the power of the Word of God in that spiritual realm. You know, just for instance, you know, the Word says, whosoever trusted in his own heart is a fool. In my summer, I didn't know nothing about it. Didn't know nothing about what that word said. But it said, whosoever walk wisely shall be delivered. And see, that's the purpose and plan of the enemy, is to keep us unaware of what it's like to become wise. And so we trust in ourselves. What we do when we trust in ourselves, we lead people in the wrong direction. A lot of us do, you know. And I've always admitted my part in it. You know, because that's what I did. And if there's a lot more that was doing it like that, I can only imagine the disruption that goes on. And until we get into that spiritual foundational time of our life, then it can only, quote, I would say, get worse. But there's hope. And that's the part that I like. I like that there is hope. Because the word says, according to Luke 1, verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So, no, we don't have to disrespect nobody, you know what I mean, to check our own selves and say, hey, man, you got to check yourself, Rick. That dope is destroying you. What? Can nobody get mad at me because I just checked myself and realized this stuff is destroying me? So whatever it is that we need to better ourselves, it should be all right.
And
but
you know
one
what?
Lesson from, one second. Hold your thought, brother. One lesson from our text that I want to emphasize tonight, and that is in Job 32nd chapter, verse 7 through 9, that the character there, Elihu, was a young man sitting in front of a bunch of old men. And he realized that those old men had no answers for Job in his affliction and his trouble, time of trouble. And he went on to say in the ninth verse, great men are not always wise. Neither do the age understand judgment. Just because you're a chronological age don't mean you have all the answers all the time. But there are young people, as you all are saying, who are thirsty for knowledge and understanding. Yeah. And in fact, a lot of the negative things we see is an indication of that thirst. I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Adam.
I was just going to, add that, finding purpose, not just individual purpose, but communal purpose, is part of the psyche, and that's a part of the hurt of our people, is that we, at a point, lack a sense of communal purpose. When you look at, just imagine when you see our Hispanic brothers and sisters, and you see white people and all of the other races, and they have the cultural things they can claim. When you see, when you're going to school and you see the Hispanic kids going to Mexico for spring break, or, it's like, wow, that's something they really can connect to. I mean, when you have a sense of cultural purpose and not something that's just, being created as you go along, it kind of touches a deeper sense of your respect for your being and the lineage that you come from. And we have to redefine our cultural purpose and get back in touch with our cultural purpose. What does it mean to be black? We should never, we are in a state of irony as a group of people right now. For all the things that our people have been through in the past, we live in a state of irony, and that's the most hurtful thing, I think, for most black people, is that the irony we see, 200 years ago.
No, that's a great point. And with all due respect to the civil rights movement and other movements, that's one of the tender spots, is that we're still in this state of irony about who we are and really what this generation particularly. You understand what I'm saying? And many people will refer back to what was done in the 50s and the 60s, which was great and greatly appreciated, but somehow it's not working today. It's not adding up today. And again, I want to emphasize, when you see the negative carnage, particularly in political precincts where it's predominantly African American, and you have a bunch of young black males, 16 to 30, without a clue of what they should be doing with themselves, that's a great indication of the problem that we have. And that's where our efforts ought to go. And that's one of the motivations for this traveling lecture series, is to do the work, do the education, do the empowerment, so that we can be focused on what we need to do specifically for these young people that are caught out there and in desperate need. Go ahead, Pastor.
I would say, your foundation, the spirituality, and learning that that was something that was intentionally stripped from our desire, and that is something that we as a people ourselves have the right. I found out, and again, I didn't know, but I found out that God is no respecter of a person. So since that's the case, we have right to learn what it means to be on one accord. That's a learning. Mm-hmm. Because right now, we don't exercise that for the most part. Most of us don't know that and how important it is and that it can be accomplished. And, and it's like it even hurts because the truth lies in it. And truth hurts from the beginning, at the starting point, but it's good for you. It changes you. That's what truth does. It changes people. So, again, I know it hurt because it hurt me. I had to deal with it. Paints a bit of truth, but it didn't feel good in the beginning. However, it was good for me. And so that's what we need, man. Right. We need to get that spiritual foundation back into existence and stand on it, in spite of what they think. We have a right to that.
Good stuff.
That's the difference between, that will be the difference. you know, is because the world we live in, you know, the modern Western world we live in doesn't respect the spirit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Mr. Abney.
Yeah.
Is it possible for us to, our next episode would be this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We can go to 4.5 hours. Is it possible for us to do part two?
Yeah.
Okay. Pastor, is that an order, Pastor? I think that's to cut us off, but I
yeah,
do need to make
good.
This run to the hospital. But this is a very powerful and relevant conversation. And Mr. Abner, I'm going to send you the link. If there are some people you want to have tune in and join us in this dialogue, man, by all means do that. By all means do that. I think this is a very relevant conversation, and it's related to a lot of what we've been talking about in our last 34 episodes. But we're aiming to come to New Orleans and do some work. And listen, stay tuned for part two, African-American
yeah.
Millennials. What's on their minds? We're learning a great deal tonight. And regretfully, we're going to have to cut it shorter than what we had planned due to, again, pastoral duties, calling. And we're going to end with this message and one more tune from Mr. Abney, and that's going to take us out of here. 7 o'clock this coming Thursday. Join us right here at Talk Straight. We're going to pick it right back up. Lord willing, we'll have Brother Abney come back and lay it down for us. But Pastor Waller, I think
sure.
that's in order. Would you second that motion?
I'm in agreement with that, and I'm going to give what you've already done. So I'm expecting Thursday for you to just continue.
All right, we're gonna end with this brief message and the last tune from Mr. Abney, and we'll look forward to hearing from you or engaging you all again on this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful for you to join us, and we look forward to joining with you again at 7 o'clock this coming Thursday.
Amen.
Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's BFC INSTITUTE.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times, and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.